Shadow net, the shadow net, do 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 do. The shadow net, the shadow net, do 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 do. The shadow net, 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 do 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 do.
Welcome to the Shadow Net. My name's Phil, aka Xeroth Maxima, threat level alpha. I've been like pooping every 10 minutes for the last month, so yeah, it's that kind of episode. My extra special guest today, I already did You Hate Netrunner last time you were on, so he loves public transportation because he's always straight bussin'. It's Eric Keelback.
What are you sick with? I do love public transportation.
It's like a new thing every week because I have children and they just...
Like, was it, like, is it COVID or is it just like...
No, it's just daycare plague.
What?
Daycare plague. It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Is it a...
Yeah.
Like your children are like an avenue for infectious disease?
Absolutely. Yeah. A vector for infectious disease. That's the scientific term.
Like your kids are getting sick too.
Yeah, they'll scrape it off the floor and then they'll hug me and be like, I love you. Here's some disgusting diseases I picked up that made me sick for like 3 hours and then I bounce back. And then I'm sick for a week. It's great.
Sick. Have you been playing Netrunner much?
Yeah, I'd say so. I've been playing with Brandon quite a bit.
He's great.
I did a great GNK. We had like 10 people turn out, which...
Oh, wow, that's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most since like 2018, it looks like.
Yeah, no, that's super sick. I have.
So, yeah. pretty jazzed about that.
I like the records. Like, you have like an archive in the basement.
Yeah, it's called alwaysberunning.net. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's super sick. I've been playing Netrunner. It's been fun. New band. I've actually been playing a lot of Netrunner recently.
Oh, with the new ban list.
Yeah, and I've been traveling for events, and like, I'm going to Victoria.
Oh, sweet.
In a couple of weeks.
Taking a boat?
Yeah, I'm taking a boat and a car.
Yeah. You gotta drive a little. Once you get on the island, they dump you off in the middle of nowhere. A bus.
A lot's happened since we last recorded an episode.
Do you want to give me a rundown? I feel like, to me, it's like, oh, it's, I don't know. Sure, there's been a ban list, but nothing much else.
Well, there was CBI.
No, surely we've recorded since CBI.
No, our last episode we recorded was me talking about the CBI, like, Fight Night.
Oh, yeah, stuff. How Fight Night ruined CBI, and then they stopped doing Fight Night. Oh, okay, tell me about CBI.
I felt like everybody knew CBI was going to be a shitty format, and it was a really shitty format. Like, it was just like the Top Cut was like the most fucking degenerate, ugly corp meta. Like, it was like fucking 4R-pluses and like a Keeling Asa.
Like, what like, did you want to be in Top Cut?
I don't know. It was just like everyone, I think everyone was just like, it's like, it was so the funny thing about CBI to me was like, CBI happened, and then everyone just stopped playing Netrunner because everyone was just like, "Oh, the format's so fucking ass."
Like, everyone, it's not was just like, JNet; it's everywhere. Sure,
it's everywhere, and everyone was like, "Oh, we gotta just like wait for the ban list." And so basically, like the from the first week of February to the last week of February, like no one played Netrunner because it was like so bad. I did not play. I did register.
I think there was a shift, right? I think. At least at the local level, a lot of people have been playing like in person, which is maybe they play less online. I don't know.
I think that like among competitive players, everyone just like took a month off because they were like, fuck it, we need the bad luck. Like even like my friend D, who I would say is like a generally very positive person, at the start of the Parhelion meta, I was like, I think this meta is actually ass. And then they were like, oh, actually like it's really good and like, it's always just like underexplored and like it's skill intensive and I like the decks. And then like I think a week after CBI they were like, I'm not playing Netrunner until a new bad list comes out.
D's got one of those screen names that just throws me for a loop. I always thought it was just like Deer. Like hey,
it is Deer, but it's Deer. But their name is their
but
name
it's
is
D. R. That's why the R is big, I assume. I don't
no,
actually
I thought
know.
No, I thought you think the last name is like an R?
So yeah, wouldn't that make sense?
That's the D lore. I don't know. I only know D because I met them at Worlds this past year.
Oh, I see.
I feel like, yeah. But yeah, so everyone just stopped playing. Everyone was just like, the fucking format's so bad.
Well, that's the thing with the competitive players. They're like, oh, the meta is solved. It's not worth playing anymore.
I mean, it was pretty, like, it was R plus and Nanny Egg Infusion.
Yeah, also it's miserable. Like, guess who developed the miserable decks, though? It's the pro players. Thank you. Thank you for ruining the game.
But fucking, but Null Signal released the miserable cards. Like, it's like, who's, we can only play the cards that were given.
Yeah, sure. You could show
some. What do you mean, like, just like breezing over that point? Where, like, that's the core point.
I mean, I enjoy that they give us cards. I can't be mad that they're releasing cards. Yes, some of them are miserable. I think a lot of the blame is in the NBN tag punishment suite.
For R plus? Yeah, sure, but they fucking printed Drago.
Yeah, they also printed Drago, which a huge mistake. They've corrected. Great, thank you.
Sure, but I'm just saying, it's not like, it's like those, like, how many people even know what the text on self-growth program was until Drago was printed?
Yeah, see, I remember it from Canats in Edmonton. Yeah, but otherwise.
That's the deep lore. But I just think it's like, I mean, I published an article today. Did you read the article?
I skimmed it. I didn't have time.
Yeah, no one fucking reads the article.
No, no one reads
basically articles. My article was basically like, boy, Alice is not very good.
Yeah, which is wild, because I feel like most people love it. They're like, this is the best one yet.
Do most people? Who fucking loves it? Okay.
You compare it to, look, it's no Red Sands. Let's put that out there. But you compare it to Ashes. You compare it to Ashes, please.
Ashes is maybe, I'm going to get fucking people mad at me for saying Ashes might be like a bottom three all-time Netrunner cycle. Like, it's like Genesis Spin. Like, what? Like,
it was doggy paddling to safety. It was the first thing.
I don't disagree. Do you realize how many cards are banned from that set? And, like, how many cards should be banned? Like, fucking, that set had Bologna in it.
Yeah.
And SDS drone deployment.
Okay, when's the last time SDS was a problem?
I just feel like SDS is one of those cards where, like, whenever it's good, it's super fucking degenerate.
But I think it's good to have those cards in the pool.
Sure.
That, like, I mean, be very strong. And yeah, if it gets out of hand, you get rid of them. But like
I just think Engram Flush is from that set. And so is Goldfarm.
Yeah.
And
they wanted to print good cards.
What never sets are worse? This is like such a bad way to
tier list.
Tearless, what Netrunner cycles are worse than Ashes?
Terminal Directive.
That does not count.
Okay, but let's mention it.
It's a big box.
It's a big box, and it's big bad. It's not good.
when you buy Ashes, you don't get a box.
Yeah, but they're slowly correcting that.
How much of the value of Terminal Directive is the fact that you get this fucking massive box. Great storage
box. Fantastic box. Yeah.
I'm going to get buried in my Terminal Director box.
You could, like, if you got incinerated or whatever they call it, you definitely could, yeah.
You think, like, I don't, like, you think they, I should keep my ashes in my Terminal Director box? That'd be so bad.
Yeah.
I will never, like, I think when my, like adolescence innocence was broken was I was like 16 or 17 when Terminal Directive came out, and my brother and I went to, like, we both got home, we raced home from school, unboxed Terminal Directive. We were so excited because we were like, we have a Netrunner like product we can play together, and we played the campaign against each other, and we realized it was so bad we did not even finish.
It was so bad. I still played it twice.
I was so sad because I was like, oh, I'm gonna have this beautiful thing to share with my brother.
It barely makes sense.
Complete ass and balls. Like, just terrible.
Oh, it's so bad. It was so bad.
Okay, fine. So Terminal Directive is worse than Ashes.
What else is worse?
It's like spins the first cycle, Genesis cycle.
Genesis is like just all over the place with trash.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, it has like Project Atlas and like Project Beal and stuff.
Yeah, it's got a couple of redeeming cards, sure. Spin Cycle, I mean, was a big step up from Genesis.
Spin Cycle gave us Caprice, Ash.
Yeah, like NAPD some decent contract, ice, Jackson. Yeah, I can't blame Spin Cycle.
Andromeda's from Spin Cycle?
Yeah.
I just think that it's like, Spin Cycle is definitely better than Ashes.
Oh, I think so. Lunar was good. Lunar was good.
Luna's better. Like, I think most cycles it's better than, like, what's worse? What, like...
Yeah, what is worse? I don't know. Maybe it's just Genesis.
It might be Genesis Terminal and Terminal Directive, which is like, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean?
Order and Chaos is like on the cusp, I feel.
Is Ashes better than Order and Chaos? Order and Chaos is some really sick.
Like edit. Max is in there, which does a lot of heavy
Max,
lifting.
Max, Val, and Ed Kim are some of the most like beloved IDs of all time.
Yeah,
you got like Hive Mind in there.
All the Wayland stuff is so trash.
Well, you have Titan and Gagarin in that set.
Yeah,
Titan, Gagarin, and Argus are all from.
Okay, the IDs were great. The actual cards, I don't know.
What were the IDs in Ashes? Fucking Hayubu, brother.
Oh, yeah.
You got Hayubu, fucking. No one has ever enjoyed a game of GameNet in their life.
No, miserable.
GameNet, Hayubu. Earth Station is cool.
Earth Station is pretty cool.
It's just terrible. HB is,
It's not precision device. Oh, it's Mirror Morph. No. Yeah, fuck Mirror Morph.
Mirror's cool. Wait, what? Mirror Morph.
That's way too complicated. Way too complicated.
What do you mean it's too... It's just... What do you mean? It's just what the fuck do you mean? It's too complicated.
I don't know. You gotta keep track of what you're doing. It's not for me, okay? If you're a Mirror Morph enjoyer, like fine.
I like Ob.
Yeah, but Ob is Wayland. They get a pass.
What do you mean? They get a pass? I think. And then on the runner side, it's Lat. What the fuck was the Crim ID from Ashes? Did they get runner IDs in Ashes?
They must have.
No, it was Hoshiko. It was Hoshiko.
Oh, Hoshiko, Az, and Lat. Yeah.
Oh, Az. I mean, Az, yeah.
Az is
I
fine.
Don't know. Just like,
it's fine.
Ordering Chaos, I think, is probably better than Ashes.
Wow.
I mean, like...
The IDs are better. The IDs are better.
The Anarch cards are better. Like,
oh,
are
the
really
Anarch
good
cards,
and interesting.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And the Wailing cards are bad, but I just think it's like... I mean, fucking Rezeki wasn't...
Ashes. I love Rezeki.
So sad.
Okay, so Ashes bottom tier, but you allege Borealis not much higher.
I just think that if your argument is, oh, at least compared to Ashes, it's better, it's like, you're just, yeah, I mean, Borealis looks very good next to Terminal Directive too, I'm sure. But like, that's not a strong argument. Like, I just don't think it's been good for the game.
You know? My argument is that new cards are good for the game. Better for the game than no cards.
Hate this argument because it's not an argument.
No, but because it's true also.
But it's just sort of like a defeatist, like, we can never do better. Like, there's like, it's just like the they're volunteers argument, right? Like, it's just immune.
That is exactly it. That is exactly it. I mean, people listen to this, they're just going to be saying like, oh, well, you should go playtest it, make sure it's good. No, I don't want to do that. I want to be innocent.
Well, that no one's asking you to playtest. Also, you're not complaining.
Well, that's why I'm not complaining.
I mean, I'm complaining and I playtest, so that's the difference.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, obviously new cards is better than no cards, but also these cards are bad for the game.
But, like... Did you read that novel that was posted on Reddit like a week ago?
I just hate that you've read that and haven't read the article that I wrote.
Look, it was just today. I had a very busy day. I was going to get to it.
My man posted a fucking unhinged game design rant on Reddit.
It was so good. I read it like all day.
I like curated a well-argued series of points and fucking people like, I want to... It's like... I'm fucking putting on the opera and people like, I want to go watch like the back alley fucking slop fight.
Take the hinges off. What are you doing? Don't post it on Stim Slack. No one reads Stim Hack.
Stim Slack is for fucking kill me. Stim Slack is for fucking Netrunner intellectuals.
There we go.
Well, it's true.
High class art.
You think I should have posted it on Reddit?
Yeah. Take the hinges off. Post it on Reddit.
I read that long rant by that guy on Reddit.
And
part of me is like, I read stuff like that and like, so like, oh man, I'm gonna, I style myself as a writer.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think a lot when I do writing is what is the idea I'm trying to communicate and who is my audience?
That seems logical.
And does my like medium and my like way of delivering my argument achieve my goals? And I think there are people who, especially like in the social media age, just feel like putting their opinion out for the world to be broadcast is like a good thing, and is any discourse is good discourse. And I just read that thing that is like really long and really long-winded and doesn't really say anything new.
Oh no, just a straight rehash of everything that's been said for the last 2 years.
And it's sort of like, why? Like, to what end? Like, why are we posted? To, like, what end? To what end is this being posted?
That's so that why everyone it's good. Like, it's nonsense. It's inflammatory. It was sure, posted it's just no context.
It's just like, that's the kind of writing that frustrates me because it gets a lot of track. Like, that, okay. Like, it frustrates me as a writer because that Reddit post got like 67 comments.
Yeah.
And I felt like I posted, like, today a well. I'm not like bitter about it, but it's like I posted like what I would consider like a well articulated like argument, and it's not going to get like 67 comments on Reddit.
No, because that's not how the internet works. People are like, "Oh yes, good point, Eric. You know, I agree. Very logical." There's nothing to say about it. It's some fucking wild ass scroll, half thought out, like just posted there. That gets clicks, man. That's how it works.
I know. That's just the frustrating part. Like, it's frustrating to me to, like, look at that.
The world is frustrating.
In terms of content, I mean, I think it was just, like, I didn't even... Like, when I see people do that stuff like that, I'm like, to what end? Like, why? Like, why do you... Like, why? Even if you're right or wrong, like, why? Like, what is your goal? Is your goal to, like change, you know, Null Signal's design vision?
I think if that's
your goal, then like, why the fuck did you think the avenue to do that was like a 2,500, like a 4,000 character Reddit post, you know?
Yeah. And I can't tell you what they were thinking, but
I just also think it has big, like at the start, he's like, I'm a game designer.
There's a lot of authority up top. Yeah. As a game designer.
I just feel like it's like, listen, I don't pretend to be a game designer. I very rarely weigh in on this. Like, people like talk about good game design, bad game design. I don't have a lot of opinions on that. I'm someone who plays games, and that's the like lens I approach feedback with and like playtest feedback with. I will say I've met some game designers who are very smart and very humble and like very willing to listen to feedback. But man, have I fucking come across a lot of game designers in my life who wield that title as a fucking like club to like batter people with. Where it's like, we're just having discussion, and then like someone's got to fucking pull the dick out and be like, I'm a game designer, you got to listen to me now. And it's like, I don't fucking care that you're a game designer. All you've done is rehash arguments from the past 2 years that like we all kind of agree. And I don't know. It's like, it's hard. I find reading the Reddit sometimes difficult. Like the comment about like errata. Like, why isn't Null Signal errata cards?
Sticker packs. I'm still for it. Do it.
I mean, sticker packs, sure. It's just like, I wish all the people who posted those rants would come playtest. It's just easier to complain. It's just easier to like complain in a moment of passion than like be constructive.
That's literally what you were going to complain about people telling us to do like 10 minutes ago. I love this. It's come full circle.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Because we can't complain about something or people say that to us. And now you're telling it to...
I mean, I think...
Important game designers.
Sure, fuck off. I think when I complain about something, I try and be constructive.
I think that's where article is actually constructive, though. And I think there's a large audience of like newer players that look at that stuff and get a much better understanding of the game as a whole, right? And you don't get the feedback, right? It's just people reading it. They don't, you know, they're internalizing it. I don't think there's a lot of comment about it.
I did have positive comments. And the reason I wrote that article was not to like fish for positive comments, but it is just like, it was something I observed where it's like that Reddit thread. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that Reddit thread is like the bad kind of feedback. Like, it's just like, how many of those comments were just people arguing pointlessly? When it's like, I felt like people gave me a lot of positive feedback today, which was nice, but it's not the reason I wrote it. I wrote it because I wanted to make an argument.
Yeah, I don't know what brought us onto this topic, but we can move on.
Where the fuck is Fight Night?
I don't know. It disappeared into the ether.
It's these fucking Europeans, dude. Like, what's going on?
I don't know. Look, everyone just gave up. Europe, but oh man, every time I do an async tournament, it's always against Europeans. It's so hard to schedule. So yes, I do have a problem with Europeans. Get on my time zone.
Yeah, I'm just like surprised. Like they just seem completely MIA.
I think I don't know if it's a scheduling thing. I know the first fight night ever was a huge success. People loved it. The second one, they went way too big, had like 50 teams, and it kind of dissolved. And this third one, I thought was a return to form, but I don't know. Maybe it's the teams having difficulty scheduling. Maybe it's a lack of interest, like you were saying. People are just waiting for the ban list. So we might hear about it soon, I think. There's some more competitive interest. Because, like, to be honest, if you had to do a competitive event in the previous meta, you seemed like you were pretty done with it.
What do you mean?
Like, did you want to play against R Plus and 419? 20 times.
No, I mean, I also stopped playing Netrunner Online. I mean, I've kind of stopped playing Netrunner Online because I think Netrunner Online is, like, soul-crushing and not fun and not good.
Which surprises me that we have this new online tournament series.
Oh, the one from OP? Yeah, I mean, like, it's hard because I don't want to be negative.
We could shit on it a little bit as a treat.
No, I mean, like, I hope it's... Like, I actually, like, in my heart, like... hope it works. Like I'm not like I don't want to be like, oh, I hope this fails. Like I actually do hope it works. And there's like I maybe there's demand. I mean, I think what the problem is that it seems to me like the better model is like the GLC like asynchronous tournaments.
Oh, you think they're trying to steal GLC's audience?
No, I don't think that. I don't know. I just think that the GLC model works and I don't think this model usually works.
It's in tough. Terms of yeah.
In terms of prize support, it's like I don't know how much a CBI invite is worth nowadays. Like, I understand it's hard to source pricing. Like, it's like I look at that and I'm like, they looked at it and they're like, doing something's better than nothing. I really wish them the best. So, like, all that out of the way, wish them the best. I hope people play. I'm not going to play in it because I don't play online events. But plenty of good people will play this in event, and I think people. I hope it generates hype.
Yeah.
But that being said, if I was asked to provide independent advice on whether I think this event is likely to succeed or not, I would not put money on it succeeding. We'll put it that way.
It's tough because I feel like you want this wide swath event, new player friendly, but then you're offering as the only prize like this entry to a very competitive event, which I feel would turn people off. So I don't know what the middle ground is, right?
I mean, like, I've also said this for the past year when they fucking announced that getting rid of buys. Like, I don't think a CBI invite is a real prize. Like, I'm just sorry. That's how I feel personally, like, in my heart. Like, it's just like, I don't care. Like, I don't want to play in an online event. I don't want to play in an online event.
We suffered through years of COVID where there was only online events. So maybe...
Sure, but it's like, it's just for people... It's so funny, Phil. It's so funny because that's how I kind of feel about organized play. I'm so sad about organized play right now.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't like the change they've made to nationals. Do you know what change is?
They're making multiple nationals? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Why don't you like that?
I don't like it.
Oh, because now they're just regionals.
They're just regionals.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's frustrating to me because essentially the only thing that is worth playing for in Netrunner, if you like care about the game competitively right now, is prestige. It's like the last thing left. There's no good prizing. There's no buys. There's no tournament prizes you can flip for money. It's like, you know, that's just how it is. And that's okay. Yeah. And I understand that. But it's just like the prestige is like the last thing, right? Prestige is like you win this tournament and it's a big deal and people and like it makes – you want to travel for events because you're like, oh, I'm going to win this thing. It's a big deal, right? Yeah. And it felt like Nationals was a tournament series. Maybe it's just like my own biases, but I really did feel that Nationals was a tournament series where people got excited and people like really cared about winning. And that being able to say you were a national champion meant something, you know? And people would travel for these Nationals. They'd become big tournaments. German Nationals was big. UK Nationals was big. We had a bunch of people travel for Canadian Nationals. And, like, historically, at least in my experience, Nationals were a big deal, like, before COVID. And so in the post-COVID era, it's really felt like one of the few tournament series to, like, still, like, retain, like, prestige and the sort of big dealness of organized play is Nationals.
Yeah.
And now to, like, take that prestige and split it up, I think just kind of misses the point. And I'm really sad Because it feels like the national championships don't really matter that anymore. Like, they're going to be called nationals, but there's, what you've done is essentially turned your nationals into regionals.
And I mean, there's less nationals than there was regionals.
Sure, but it's like, why? Like, I guess it's like, sometimes I think about organized play, and about a year and a half ago, there was a decision to remove the store champs regionals national structure and replace it with these circuit openers.
Yeah. And now there's two circuit openers.
And I just feel like at the time, I never got a really good, like, at the time, I never really got a really well-articulated, strong answer to why that is.
Well, I think it was mostly producing prizing is tough, so we're going to cut down on the amount of events. Organizing events is tough, so we're going to cut down on the event amount. But now they've just, they're back up to the same amount of prize kits and the same amount of events, but with less prestige. I agree with you.
I just don't understand. Like, I there's a part of me, like, genuinely is I don't understand. I don't understand why you decided to do this when you could run regionals.
Yeah.
People will say, well, it's a geography issue if you look at the U.S. And I would say I agree. This problem, there was this problem, and it was solved in 2017 when FFG created the Continentals level tournaments. So that one side of the U.S. could host Continentals and one side of the U.S. could host, you know, U.S. Nationals. Like, that was the flip.
Yeah.
So, like, Continentals would be held in the East Coast and Nationals would be held on the West Coast, and they'd switch. That was the idea. And so it's just frustrating to me that it's like, it feels like before you used to have a rhythm. You had store champs, and then you got, like, the winner of a bye, winner of a store champ got a, and the prizes never fucking mattered in any of these. Like, just so we're clear, right? Like, you're playing for prestige, and you got a bye from a store champ, and then maybe you got to go to regional, and then once you won your regional, you're like, oh, maybe I should go nationals, like, if I buy there. You might fly, you might do a long drive, and then once you're in your nationals, like, oh, I should think about going to Worlds.
Sure.
And it's just, it felt like that tournament structure provided, like, I've talked about this before, it feels like that tournament structure provided a lot of sort of, like, narrative and rhythm to how the year should have gone. And it feels like right now what we have is essentially tournament soup, where none of the tournaments really flow into each other. It's unclear. The tournaments get devalued year over year, because now, like, if you want to argue with me and say, okay, the thing that the circuit openers was really good for is they provide you access to an exclusive online event, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, sure, fine. I don't think that's a prize worth that is better than a buy, but I think it's reasonable to disagree with me. And for what it's worth, I signed up to play in the circuit invitational just so I could get the prizes. And I got a playset of Dirty Laundries with, like, a really cool gloss on them that's like the Reaper Protocol gloss. And I thought that was actually a pretty cool prize. Like, I thought, this is actually a pretty good prize for winning a circuit opener. I feel like I got paid out. This is something that's special for me. I'm very happy with that. If the argument is that, in some sense, what makes these circuit openers valuable to win is the exclusive chance to attend the CBI. By running two circuit opener kits a year, what you've essentially done is double the pool of people who can win these tournaments, right? Like, you're essentially handing out double the invites.
Yeah.
So you've just devalued by half any sort of, like, exclusivity or special thing that you felt, you know?
And not just that, you've just destroyed the staircase and made it way flatter, right? And I mean, that's a progression you were talking about. You want a nice linear flow. You want the tournament soup to go in a nice tube, is what you're saying.
I just think it's like, it's frustrating to me. It feels like, I'll explain to you what's going to happen in Vancouver. We're going to apply for nationals and we're probably going to get it because we're the only tournament seen on the West Coast. In Montreal or Toronto, we'll get the other nationals.
Oh, Calgary's close enough.
Are you applying for nationals?
No, I don't want the stress to organize that.
I mean, exactly. And so we're going to run nationals in Vancouver, and it's essentially going to be the same group of people who always go to tournaments in Vancouver, because why would you travel for nationals when there's going to be like three or four nationals in the United States?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why travel for these events? Why? Like, what you've done is essentially take your nationals and you fucking have made them smaller. You've insulated your tournaments. And it feels like I have been playing Netrunner for a long time. And to me, and I think if you asked anyone of, like, sort of my time of my age with the game, you ask them what are some of the highlights from the tournament experience, and it was always traveling to other metas to play in the tournaments.
Mm. Yeah.
It's when you feel like you're part of a big interconnected community. You get to see other cities. Road trips are fun. And like these trips are some like some of the memories I have on these trips are some of my favorite network memories of all time. And people from the U.S. can tell you stories about like crazy stories about traveling the cities and staying in crazy places and playing in these events. And you went and played in these events because like maybe there wasn't a regional in your local area, so you traveled for a regional and you had like super regionals in the East Coast, or you flew in for nationals, right?
Yeah.
And when everybody gets a tournament, that just doesn't happen anymore. You know, it feels like that is sort of being degraded. Like, why travel for a circuit opener when your meta is going to run two every single year? You know?
Oh, I know. I know. Do you think it's a matter of inclusivity? Everyone should be able to participate in a tournament.
I don't understand it. Like, I actually don't. Like, it's like, I'm not trying to be facetious here. Like, it's like, I just feel like, yeah, it's really hard for me to understand. I think I actually don't understand why, if they felt like there weren't high stakes tournaments, why they decided to have countries run multiple nationals instead of bringing back regionals. Like, it's very unclear to me.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of feel like they were like, oh, we announced we were merging these things. Oh, now we want more nationals. Oh, we don't have our regionals anymore. Oh, just make the nationals a regional, you know, good enough.
It's just frustrating to me. It's frustrating to me. Like, I was talking to Will about this today, and I'm like, it just feels like, I don't know. I feel really sad about it. It feels like the World Championship made sense because it was the pinnacle. It was the cap on a year of organized play.
Yeah.
And you could see people move up through the store champs, regionals, nationals, like continentals, like all the way to the World Championship. This is the first year where I feel like, at least personally, and like world champion of what? Like world champion, like it doesn't, like the name doesn't make sense to me anymore in some sense. Like,
okay, there's still just one world though.
No, there is just one world, but like it's just now this isolated thing floating out in the ether instead of like the logical end to a tournament season.
Yeah. I get that.
And it's frustrating to me to have that happen. I've traveled to every Worlds almost now, like every Worlds except two. And to me, I always understood it as a tournament and like a party second. It doesn't feel that way to me this year. Maybe I will feel differently. It's frustrating to me as a tournament organizer. I mean, like applying for nationals, it's like, it's just creating, I feel like the multiple nats like creates a lot of chaos in some sense. Like you're applying against like maybe other metas and you don't know who. I know like Australia is like running into this problem of like who's going to run the nationals. Like nobody knows. Everyone, like no one knows who's applying.
Yeah.
In the UK, I know there's basically been this discussion to like host one big nationals so that they don't split the player base. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, and like, you know, the thing that makes me really like honestly sad about it, Phil, is that nobody cares.
I think some people care. I think there's, I think there's just some confusion right now.
Nobody cares. No, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to change next year.
I feel like the organized play committee cares about organized play, Eric.
No, they do care about organized play. No, I mean, for sure. But it's like, nobody feels like, it just feels to me, it's like, I went to Portland with Joe, Solomir.
A good one.
And like my friend Sol. He's new. His name's Alakon. He's like a newer player, right?
Oh, I've seen him around, yeah.
Yeah, and he hadn't traveled for an event really before. Like, he went to Seattle once, but we went down to Portland. We did this, like, three-day road trip. It was an incredible time. It reignited my love of, like, organized play. I was like, this is super sick. I went and played, like, a 22-person tournament in Portland. It was so much fun, like, hanging out with people, playing. People, like, hung around and watched the cut. People like thanked us afterwards, the top cut, that said it was so nice to see like high level netrunner played in person. Like that was a treat. And that was like such an invigorating thing to hear because it makes you feel like what you're doing matters. And it's just like, I think Sol, he was really like, okay, I want to travel for as many events as possible. Like I really want to get involved. And I feel like whenever you get like newer people exposed to like traveling for organized play, it like always ignites them. Like often like it really like motivates people.
Yeah.
And I worry that that is not happening anymore.
Well, it's not happening this year, but I'm just saying, let NSG have their year of soup, and they'll probably do something else next year.
Do you think that's actually true? Because it seems to me that like, I mean, the two circuit opus thing is like, they decided last year the circuit openers worked really well, so they're just going to do two this year.
Yeah, and they're always changing things.
Sure. I just think that, like, the things change because people agitate for them. And I think it's hard because my argument isn't that, like, running extra nationals is bad. My argument is that, like, it's not that running more tournaments is bad. My argument is that, like, we should just bring regionals back and we should keep nationals as, like, an exclusive event, which I feel like is a nuanced argument. And I feel like what I'm worried is that people are going to complain and that what's going to be heard is, like, we don't want more tournaments. And it's like, that's not the point of the argument. It's kind of like arguing against, like, more tournaments is like arguing against free food. Like, it's a hard proposition. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, and I get you. And the whole CO thing is confusing too. Cause, like, for me, I'm in Calgary. We have another meta in Edmonton, which is like 3 hours. So it's day trippable for a big tournament. Right. But when it came to COs, it was like, hey, do I order a big one and we all get together in one place and do it? Or does each city order their own small CO and run their own thing? And, like, I don't know, it's just hard to organize that with no, like, central planning, right? So we decided on a big one, and hopefully for the next one they do a big one, and then that's kind of like regionals and get some people traveling, because I really enjoy that aspect too. But yeah, it's very tough to coordinate, and that's with people that I'm, like, in a Discord with, that I chat with all the time. It's not like, yeah, on the other side of the country and you're trying to decide, like, how nationals should be run. So, yeah, I mean, a little more, like, central planning would be nice. I agree with you.
I'm running Cascadia, which is this large netrunner tournament. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's like, I have to decide whether I'm going to apply for nationals or not.
Right.
And, like, okay, so am I competing against, like, Dan Bouchard? And, like, am I competing against, like, maybe some of the guy from Texas? It's so unclear to me, like, and then, like, there's Continentals applications coming up. And, like, does applying for Nationals, like, disqualify me from, like, what does that mean? Like, if I get accepted for Nationals, does that mean, like, I'm less likely to get the Continentals?
Yeah.
Like, Continentals is in person. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I just think it's fucking, like, in my heart, it feels wrong that there's going to be three national champions from the United States this year. In any other competitive thing I've ever done in my life, if you told me there were three national championships in your competitive thing, I would go, that doesn't make a lot of sense. What do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, on the face of it, I just don't understand. And it's like, yeah, I'm just really sad. I'm sad. Every time I see it discussed online, I get sad about it. Like, I'm just like, because I feel really in my heart like it's not going to change, Phil. And I feel like when I talk to people about, like, meta stuff, or, like, I'm like, oh, I think, like, you know, I think, like, this card's busted or whatever, people understand. I feel like whenever I talk to, like, I've talked to a bunch of people about this issue, and basically I've gotten a lot of responses from, like, indifference to, like, oh, I understand, but, like, you shouldn't care this much.
But it's, like, and it's a very personal thing. So I think it's different for everyone, right? Sure. And I think you have
a
great experience. Yeah. And that's why I would love for you to write an article about it and have that picture of you sleeping on a couch with a little Hello Kitty blanket.
It was a My Little Pony blanket. That tournament was wild. We drove, like, a total of 20 hours fucking for that tournament. It was crazy.
Yeah, insane. And I think a lot of people that are getting into the game don't know about that stuff, right? And, like, yeah, not everyone can, but...
Sure. I'm hoping that with the Cascadia thing, I feel like what I'm trying to do in the Pacific Northwest is to create, like, an organized play quarter.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was really important to go to Portland.
And I think it's great. Like, geographically, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Y'all got trains.
I just wanted to show that we were willing to travel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, because now maybe they'll travel for our event. And it's just sort of like, yeah, it feels like there's a lot of players. And it's like, sometimes I worry. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think about it, the organized play stuff sometimes. And I'm like, how much can I change? How much can I affect? It feels like I can carve out, like, a little piece in the Pacific Northwest that makes sense with or without null signal games.
Yeah.
But, like, I look at the Nationals thing and it just makes me, like, be like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, it feels bad.
Yeah, fair. I getcha.
What else? Oh, there's a ban list update.
yeah. Do you think the meta is better for it?
I think it's hard to say because no one's playing Netrunner right now.
I thought everyone was waiting for the ban list.
Yeah, but they were lying. I mean, like, it's just sort of like, I think people are, I don't understand it, honestly. I mean, like, it's hard for me to, like, determine. I know, like, I'm just doing my in-person stuff in the Pacific Northwest and, like, enjoying that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take some time for like people to attend in-person stuff. I know Dan Bouchard's organizing stuff on the East Coast.
Well, I think the difference is there's no big tournament looming, right?
Yeah, there's nothing to like. Yeah, exactly. There's nothing well, like prepared
yeah. for. Yeah, like the CO kits are like maybe shipping now. So I think in the next month it'll pick up as those start to get scheduled.
But I think people don't care. Like I don't want to like put. I just don't think people care a lot about the CO kits. Like
not I enough to like people, do like intense testing. Yeah.
I mean, I think the COs for a lot of people are like G and Ks.
Well, sure.
Well, what's the difference? I mean, like we're talking about for a lot of metas, it's like a once a month tournament thing.
I'd say yeah, because I guess store champs was just once a year. I always thought it was more of a store champs level thing. But
sure. Store champs, I think is a good analogy too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like hard because there's no one of the problems with the tournament soup thing, right? There's nothing to prepare for outside of like nationals.
Yeah,
which is now devalued, and then like. You know, there's only like two or three things a year to care about. Like right now, in theory, we should be in like regionals, like heading in the regional season on the previous schedule.
Right.
But, you know.
But we're heading into to CO number one season, which, you know.
I don't know when CO number two is going to happen. That's really interesting. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot more events in the summer. I think people are starting to organize events again and like it's starting to come together. I know like there's some stuff going on in Texas that's good and we're going to have Cascadia, which I think is going to unite the Pacific Northwest. And
you keep bringing up this I thought Texas Nats was a meme.
I don't think it's a meme. I think there's a community out there that's like growing and Texas is like a really populous state. Like it's the second populous state in the country.
Huh? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you mean Texas. Maybe? Like, it's just like...
You're telling me about it. I guess it's big, all right? Texas big. I get it.
Texas big. There's a new ban list. I thought the ban list was fine.
I missed the boat, I'll be honest. Yeah, it sucked to play against.
But... No, I mean, I think playing Runner is actually, like, requires intellect now. So, like, I don't. You know, it's hard for a lot of people, I understand.
How do I get 2 MU out of Shaper? It makes
yeah, no you gotta run anymore. You gotta run Maya. Oh, you can't even run Maya. It's Monday. Oh, fuck. No. What was I gonna say? I think that's basically all that's happened since we last
chatted. That's the recent events, yeah. Oh, we hit all these things we wrote about, yeah.
You want to talk about Canadian politics?
I always want to talk about Canadian politics.
I don't want to be branded a racist.
Who among us would? But go ahead anyways.
But do you think China might be interfering in our elections?
It sounds like they might be at the very least contributing funds to their preferred candidates. Yes, I think they might be.
So basically what happened was, I want to say like, I don't even know where it started. I think there were like allegations from the Conservative Party or like there's a report came out from like CSIS or something. It was basically about like Chinese interference in Canadian elections.
Yeah.
And the CSIS...
Oh, no, go ahead.
The report was basically like, yeah, so there was definitely interference, but we don't think it materially changed the outcome of the election, so, like, we're just going to call it good on this one. And I think a lot of people were like, wait, what do you mean? And I think Canada has this, like, really weird relationship with China. Canada is kind of, like, in the U.S. sphere of influence, and, like, China... Like, there's just a lot of Chinese people in Canada, and there's a lot of, like, Chinese investment in Canada.
Yeah.
And, like, unlike in the U.S. where that shit goes through, like, national security reviews, in, like, Canada, we're just like, yeah, money good.
Yeah. We need more of that, please.
We need more of that, yeah. So, I think it's just, like, it's bad. Like it's so fucking bad. You know, Justin Trudeau's like, what's up with this Chinese election interference? And... I think what would have been reasonable to say is something along the lines of, oh, you know, we take election interference, like, that's a very, like, grave thing. We'll look into it, we'll review, like, us things and come back with, like, a report. Pretty reasonable thing to say, right?
Sure.
Instead, my man immediately pulls the race card and is like, how dare you commit racism against Asians for fucking alleging Chinese election interference? This is hatred against the Chinese people. And everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about, Justin Trudeau? And so, like, that was it for a week. And then eventually, like, it wouldn't let up. So they published, like, basically, it's, like, so unclear and it's still an evolving story. But it looks like some of the fucking, like, liberal candidates are, like, compromised in some sense. Like, they get a lot of money from, like, Chinese donors and, like, act in the interest of the Chinese Communist Party sometimes. And there's, like, I don't know. It's, like, it's really hard sometimes in Canada to tell what is, like, hyperbole and what is, like, reality. Like, did you read about
the media landscape does suck, and that does make it hard. I have actually read about this, and yeah, one of my favorite parts is that, like, a lot of it is you have, do you know about WeChat?
Oh yeah, WeChat is like this, like the premier, like, social media platform in China.
Well, it's like, I think it's maybe closer to, like, WhatsApp. It's like more for like chatting, but I think it's a boomer thing where they join like a group with like hundreds of people, and like, I would never do this. I would never dare do that. That sounds terrible. I don't want my phone ringing. But yeah, these WeChat groups were alleged to have like, yeah, these smear campaigns against local candidates, and no one knew exactly where they were coming from. And that's a part of it, right? But that's to tweeze apart, like, Chinese psyops from, you know, grassroots. Oh, this political candidate sucks.
There is also this part of, like, the conservatives are actually just racist. So it's, like, it's hard to, like, it's, like, a racist clock is, like bright twice a day or whatever, and we're just, like, having a hard time figuring that out. I also say, have you heard about these, like, secret police stations?
Yeah, I have.
So, like, this is, like, something, I don't even know if this is, like, necessarily true, so I'm gonna fucking do research and come back next episode and find out. But, like, basically, the idea of these secret police stations is, like, something that happens is you have, like, overseas, like, Chinese students or Chinese immigrants or whatever. And these secret police stations are, like, essentially, like, people who are, like, in the pocket or, like, work for or, like, influenced by the Chinese Communist Party and act as, like, community enforcers to make sure that, like, overseas Chinese people, like, essentially toe the party line.
It's wild that they called this secret police stations and not organized crime, which is, you know, what it is. But, you know, maybe this is a statement on police. I don't know. Good job.
Yeah, I think it's, like, pretty... One second, I want to...
I'm sorry. You pay people to go harass and, like, beat the shit out of people and deport them. How is that not the mob? I don't know.
I don't even understand. Like, the secret police stations and, like, people are coerced to, like, go back to China to, like, be detained there or, like, prosecuted there.
Yes, they threaten your family until you, like, go back to China.
And it's, like, wild. It's, like, pretty it's wild so, shit.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, I think it didn't help Canada that this was, like, right after all that balloon shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tough time. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, it's China. It's hard. It's hard right now to be, like, So, yeah, it's, like, an evolving story. Like, I feel like we've been on it for, like, 2 weeks, and it's, like, and, like, I think the answer is, like, something along the lines of, like, does China, like, meddle in foreign elections? Or, like, influence candidates in foreign elections? I think absolutely.
It would be shocking if they didn't, right? Does the U.S.?
Does like Canada? Probably, yeah. Like, every state does. Like,
Do you grease the palms of people you want favorable trade relationships? Yes, all day, yes. Yeah, fucking basis of international relationships. Which I'm not saying, you know, way to go, that's the way to do it. But I'm saying, like, it's pretty obvious there is. However, like, how do you monitor that? How do you set repercussions for that? That's the actual question, right?
Yeah, it is sort of like, it is just like this weird, it's fucking bizarre, weird land. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's so fucking weird.
It's just crazy that these deep political questions that usually is just like, not inconsequential, but out of sight, have like spiraled out of control that now it's like front and center. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
I have no idea. Maybe I'll like start a movement about organized play, or maybe people will just tell me I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Well, we'll come up with a good title for the episode, because people won't listen to it, but they'll read the title, and that'll really kickstart things.
Okay. Well, have a good night, Phil.
Oh, you too. I gotta go to bed. What? My 8 p.m. Yeah, bedtime is far past.
Have a good night. See you.
Welcome to the ShadowNet. My name's Phil, aka... Oh, and now I feel like I'm too loud.
You're a bit too loud.
Yeah, oh my god. Coming in hot. Oh, okay. Even. It's because I get excited, you know?